Here is the first question.
No.
Okay, so these are part of the questions that I asked both you and Mom. I started with, give me a brief narrative of the December 15th, 1988. What really sticks out in your mind on the day I was born?
What really sticks out on the day you were born?
Try to go through, like, beginning of the day to the end of the day, if you could.
Yeah. My recollection is that, you know, I don't recall whether Mom was already in the hospital or that, I remember we went down one night and because her water broke and she, they kept her there for a while and they sent her home and told us to come back. And I don't exactly remember, I guess we came back either the night before, probably the night before, because Mom was in labor for about 36 hours, as I recall.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was a period where she was, you know, trying to have a natural delivery, and, you know, she kept trying and trying and trying for hours, and it just wasn't happening. She was pushing and pushing and pushing, and they were monitoring your heartbeat, and they noticed after a period of time that you were showing signs of distress,
yeah,
heartbeat-wise, etc. So I guess they were at some point sort of an emergency situation because of your vital signs having deteriorated pretty significantly. So, you know, in a rush, they rolled Mom down to the end of the hallway to prep her for a C-section.
Yeah.
That is, yeah. And what I recall is, like, I became a non-entity at that point. You know, they sort of throw the father out of the way and don't give him a whole lot of information.
Yeah.
But when you hear everybody running around going stat, stat, you know, pushing you out of the room and rolling her down, you know, to prep her for a C-section. All during that hecticness, I was sort of pushed out to the hall and didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, after they got her all prepped up, ready for the operation, they allowed me to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a curtain between, let's say, where Mom's neck is, up to the ceiling and down the sides of the gurney that she was on.
Mm-hmm.
And they were allowing me to sit on a chair, you know, right by her face.
Yeah.
And I went to stand up, and, you know, they told me to sit down because what was about to happen was going to be, you know, surgery, and there was going to be blood and all that. They've lost too many fathers to fainting when they see something like that.
I bet.
I sat down, and, you know, Mom was obviously very sedated.
Yeah.
And you hear the, you know, because they're sucking the blood out of the incision that they're making.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you're sort of like, you know, behind a curtain. You don't know what's going on. You can hear a whole bunch of sounds. And there were a couple of nurses off to the left of the gurney where Mom was being operated on, with a little table there, you know, prepping for, you know, the baby to ultimately come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, at one point, I think the doctor or the nurse said, "Oh, here it comes. I said, "Don't you dare."
Yeah.
And I've waited all this time, you know, to have a child, and the last thing in the world I want you to do is to tell me what it is. I want to see that and make that determination firsthand. I don't want anybody telling me. So with that, you know, they picked you up and they cut the cord,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they brought you over to the table, you know, because you come out pretty, you know, gooey.
Yeah, I bet.
I think I said something like, oh man, you know, he's got balls. You know?
Yeah, that's confirmed by mom.
Great. I don't have to pay for the wedding.
Okay.
Something to that effect. You know, they cleaned you up, and you know, you don't hear a sound right away, and then they give you the old pat on the ass, and you know, and the whack and the whack, and you know that you know your child is alive and well.
Yeah.
And you know, they clean you up and whatnot. And they take footprints of you, I guess, you know, to have a record of some unique identifier. And then, you know, they put mom out.
Yeah.
You know, they made her unconscious. And you pretty much shoot out into the hall again. And, you know, after, you know, the baby was cleaned up and mom was rolled into her room, she was, you know, still very unconscious. At some point, I sort of wander down to the nursery where they keep the babies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking in the window and trying to figure out which one's my son. And, you know, I run across, you know, George Brower. And I look in the window, and your head was, like, really, really pointy.
Pointy?
Either on the left side or the right side. On the top of your head. I said, damn, you know, look at that head. What's up with that? And I started, you know, patting my head to kind of see, you know, maybe, you know, genetically I got a pointy head. And what I found out was, you know, your cranium is so soft when you're in the womb that with mom constantly trying to push you out, she got you further and further down the canal, but not all the way out.
Yeah.
Your head actually formed into the shape of, you know, that canal, and it literally for that, you know, first few days caused it to be, you know, disformed or pointy.
That's hilarious.
So I remember saying to myself, damn, that's not my side of the family. That must be somebody on her side of the family. So, you know, you had a little jaundice. You know, you were yellow, and, you know, I think you had to stay in the hospital for a day or so more than normal for them to treat that. And, you know, that you asked me what I remember on the day of. That's what I remember.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's awesome. Do you remember, like, what you were up to, like, the weeks before and stuff like that? Were you at work or whatever?
Yeah, it was normal, you know, day-to-day business prior to that. You know, we knew we were getting very, very close. And so from a work point of view, you know, I was going to work every day, but there was some kind of, you know, procedures that we made should something happen, you know, to get in touch with me and I would come home and whatnot. Obviously there was a great deal of excitement and anticipation on my part.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we knew it. I guess we didn't know what, you know, you were going to be, boy or girl.
Yeah.
But, mom, for a stretch of time, was staying at Yaya's house mandatory bed rest because you know they were afraid that she was going to have you prematurely, as I recall.
Yeah.
And so they had her hooked up on a fetal monitor, and every hour or so, or every couple hours, I forget exactly, she would have to call this number and put this mechanism on the receiver of the phone. And basically they would be able to monitor your heartbeat and stuff to make sure you were okay.
That's interesting.
Did she say anything like that?
No, she didn't tell me about that. She says she doesn't remember what she was up to beforehand.
No, there was a period of time where, you know, she was confined to bed rest, in order to make sure that, you know, she kept you inside for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, she must have at some point been able to come home, because I remember it was around, obviously, Christmas time, and she was decorating the tree.
Yeah.
And it was right at that moment that, you know, her water broke.
Yeah.
And, you know, she freaked out, you know, and brought her over to the couch and realized that she was gushing, you know, the amniotic fluid all over the couch.
Yeah.
You know, got a towel and put it underneath her. And, you know, it was that night that we went, you know, screaming down to the hospital. It was late at night.
Yeah.
And she was doing her, what do they call that, Lamaze training on the... And I'm racing like a motherfucker to try to get to the hospital.
Yeah.
Go and do red lights and everything. And I think I remember her saying, "Relax." I said, "Relax? What are you, out of your goddamn mind?" You know. That's what I remember up to it. And you know, there was you know, some given the way things ended up between her and I, there were some difficult moments during the pregnancy where, you know, things weren't going exactly the way she wanted it from a relationship point of view or from a sexual point of view. And there were a couple of times where, you know, she threatened that she was going to, you know, leave. And I think at one point I said, you know, "Let me help you pack your bags because I can't deal with this anymore either." And, of course, she never did leave. But medically speaking, there was something I recall that maybe around 6 months caused her to go to Yaya's, and I guess after they got past that danger zone in terms of time, then she was able to come home to our house, and like I say, the rest is history.
Yeah. So I know that Mom had one miscarriage beforehand, right?
Yeah, Mom had a miscarriage. Not too long after we got married. I think it was actually the year after we got married. So we got married in, I think it was, I want to say around 86, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Let's see, no, that's not right. Got married in 82, so probably... maybe it was 1984.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was pregnant. She had a miscarriage. And that was pretty traumatic because, you know, it had come out, I guess. And Mom, you know, was, like, really freaking out. And she gathered it up to go down to see the doctor. And it was some hospital, probably, you know, near where, you know, she lives now, and Montefiore, I think it was. And in any event, I distinctly remember she got out of the car with this specimen in a jar or something, and it was really sad because she dropped it on the street.
Oh, my God.
And she was, you know, trying to get it back in the jar and everything. And, you know, he used to say that was a pretty... emotional moment, to say the least. But, she had, you know, a DNC at the hospital, you know, to clean her out and everything. And you know, needless to say, the aftermath of that was a very depressing and emotional period
yeah.
for her and I. So, I mean, you know, that was, say, around 1984, and I guess we continued the game for a while, and you were conceived in 87, and obviously born in 88.
Mm-hmm. So were you, like, scared or anything like that? Because I know that I was late, and, I don't know, Mom sounded like she was pretty anxious about everything, about my health and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you couldn't help but be anxious because, you know, when the doctor ordered her to bed rest, that's when she went to Yaya's because, you know, she had to be with someone for safety reasons. during that period. And, you know, when you've never been a parent before and you're coming out of the box with these kinds of complications, you know, of course you're going to be anxious and wonder whether the baby is going to be, you know, okay or not. So, yeah, that was a pretty tough time. But, you know, again, it was also laced with a marriage that, you know, even at that point was obviously in trouble. So
yeah.
It was kind of a mixed bag of emotions.
I hear ya. Okay, so now I got to take it on kind of a global scale. I don't know if you remember there was any kind of like big events in the news around the time I was born, or just kind of what was in the headlines or anything like that.
Well, you know, not necessarily, you know, specific to the time you were born.
Yeah.
But more generally, you know, the things that I recall occurring in the 80s. Like, you know, John Lennon getting assassinated.
Yeah.
Reagan, became president in 1982. And shortly thereafter, you know, there was an assassination attempt on him as well, where he was actually shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was fortunate not to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of major historical events occur in the 80s. You had the fall of the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
You had the beating of Rodney King by the L.A. cops, which was a real racial period of tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a change in the music venue in the 70s was disco, and here you are now in the 80s, and you had a replacement of that with hard rock and heavy metal, you know, like Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue, and Madonna was coming on the scene, you know,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Pac-Man, you know, was the big rage. You know, compare the state of technology back then to now, you know. Pac-Man was the video game, you know. You know, so stuff like that, and my recollection was cocaine was like the major drug of choice. You know, people were just going nuts with cocaine during the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, technology was just becoming a household item. Those are the kinds of things I remember.
Yeah, cool. So, where were you working at the time?
In the 80s, let's see. I worked for Arthur Anderson up to 1982.
Yeah?
That's the job I had when I left college, and I worked with them from the time I graduated, and I guess it was, let's say, late 1976, and I worked for Arthur Anderson.
So were you a Chrysler when I was born?
You were born in 88, yeah, I was at Chrysler. I started with Chrysler in 1985,
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you were with Chrysler, because I remember bringing you into the office one day, and you know, you were just a little papoose, you know, and I had the diaper bag and the whole thing. And I remember, you know, I had you on my desk because you had done something in your diaper, and I was changing you, and you know, all my colleagues were in around, you know, to see, you know, what my little boy looked like and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely at Chrysler. I worked there from 1985 to 1995.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the economy like at the end of the 80s and stuff? Wasn't it like, I don't know, how would you characterize the climate?
You know, the economy, I don't recall at the end of the 80s being, I don't remember anything specific.
Yeah.
About the economy being good or bad or anything else. I certainly wasn't into the financing issues as you see that I am today.
No.
So, you know, it wasn't about the stock market with me or anything else. I was really totally uninterested, or, you know, really that cognizant of, okay, you know, market climates, etc., the way I am today. Mm-hmm. I would say it was a fairly healthy and robust period of economic times, because I don't remember anything but good things about work and the success that my company was achieving.
Yeah.
So I would say that they were probably fairly good economic times.
Okay. Last question. Actually, second to last question. For any reason, do you wish you had me earlier or later?
For any reason, do I wish I had you earlier or later? Well, that's a question that, of course, begs hindsight, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier or later. It's a tough question. I don't know how to answer that one.
No?
Earlier or later. Certainly not later, because, you know, things only deteriorated more and more, so I don't mm-hmm. think intuitively I would want to have done it, you know, later. Maybe yeah. earlier, before your mother manifested, you know, what I ultimately had come to see.
Yeah.
So, maybe earlier in our relationship, when we were not at so much odds with one another, things would have been, you know, a more enjoyable experience, because there's no doubt that even while you were inside of Mom, you know, our marriage was clearly going down the tube. So mm-hmm. what should have been a very happy time, I recall, was obviously, you know, not. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, you know, I was having a child with someone I you know, was becoming progressively less and less, you know, fond of, if you will. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, it wasn't the joy that, you know, that kind of experience is and should be.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, talking out loud logically, no, I wouldn't have wanted it to happen later. I would rather have it happened earlier, when things, you know, were obviously better between her and I, and I would have enjoyed the experience, you know, much more, like a first-time father should.
Yeah. Okay, last thing. Who would you say I was named after, or why was I named what I am named?
You were named after your mother's father.
Yeah? And what was the whole naming procedure like? Do you remember it all?
Do I remember that? Of course. I remember that, you know, she wanted to name you after her father.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the kinds of things, unless, at least for me personally, unless you have a reason to be vehemently opposed to it, there's no reason to you know, rock the boat, so to speak. But, you know, not, you know, George is not a name that was used very regularly back in those days, you know, like today, or, you know, during a certain period of time, you know, names are popular and everybody's naming their son or daughter. I thought George was a manly name, you know. We've had some very famous people in history that were named George, like George Washington and stuff. And the Michael maybe was some attempt, you know, to get me in there, you know, because in Judaism, you're supposed to name your child after someone who's dead.
Yeah.
As out of respect. And that could be, you know, as simple as using the first initial of the deceased person's name.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's maybe why we, you know, yet, you know, nobody I can recall, including myself, was dead yet. I just think that was something more that sounded like it worked with George, and your mother liked George Michael the the singer.
Yeah.
At the time, so that was something I remember us always joking about.
All right, Dad, that's it. Unless there's anything else you want to put in there, then those are all my questions.
No, I don't need to put anything in there. You want to say hi to your Uncle Ben?
Yeah, sure. What's going on, Uncle Ben? How are you?